Let's now come before our God in prayer, ask Him to forgive us our sins, to enlighten us with His word, and to bless as we continue worshiping Him. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we did in song, we now in our prayer want to give all glory and praise to You. As we gather here obeying Your call to worship, we do so knowing full well that our help really is in Your name, Almighty God, who created all things. And we thank You for Your goodness, Your faithfulness. O Lord, help us to be secure in Your love. And thank You that You show us over and over again that Your love does endure forever. Father, we need Your help in this. We are all broken people as we sit here. And Lord, here when we considered our lives and held them up to what You require of us as summarized in the law You gave Your people. And so now as Your congregation, we pray that You will forgive us our sins. The sins of this morning, of yesterday, of the past week. And may we realize when we fall short of Your expectations, yes, may we grieve that we always seem to do so. Help us then to confess our sins and shortcomings to You as we realize again and again that if You didn't show us compassion, if You did record each and every one of our sins, not one of us could stand. And so, Lord, we thank You that You in Your compassion, that You sent Your Son to atone for our sins and to redeem us. And Lord, help us to feel the release, unburdened from these sins, for You promise us that. You promise to, in the name of Jesus Christ, remove our sins from us. And so help us to truly be assured of Your forgiveness. May our sin, our guilt, and our shame be lifted from us. And Father, so often we also need Your help, Your protection and care in our everyday lives. Sometimes You put things on our paths that seem to be too big for us. Will You help us to never doubt Your love and Your fatherly care? And Lord, be with those among us who may be struggling from different kinds of things they're dealing with, whether they are physical, mental, emotional, yes, spiritual as well. Lord, You know them better than we do, what's going on in our lives, in our minds. There seems to be no shortage of challenges we are called to face, and so help us to seek Your grace for each day. May we turn to You as our rock and our refuge. And Father, as Your community of believers here in Vernon, help us to love one another. Help us to show love to all our neighbors. Lord, help us to show this not only in words, but also in deeds. Help us to forgive one another, to show compassion. And most of all, Lord, just to show to others the love that You have first shown us. Yes, as the song goes, may they know we are Christians by our love. And bless us as we continue worshiping You. Give us open hearts, listening and attentive ears, willing and cheerful hands, giving back to You from what You have so richly blessed us with later on. Lord, may our joy be heard in the way that we sing to You, and may all praise and glory go to You alone. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to take your Bibles, and we'll turn to God's Word as we find it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Here we have the account of when Jesus was about to be crucified. We'll begin reading at verse 32 and up to verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 32, hear God's word. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't even save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. So far from God's Word. Brothers and sisters, in the sermon this morning, we're going to be focusing on that cry that Jesus made on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" As you probably know, this is a direct quote from Psalm 22. And it's quite incredible, really, how much of the psalm is fulfilled at that time of Jesus' death. And so as we prepare to hear God's Word, let's sing the first and the third stanza. The third stanza is you'll hear the mocking that the chief priest did, also talked about in Psalm 23. So we'll sing Psalm 22, stanzas 1 and 3. Before we do, just a really quick odd request. Anyone have a tissue or two you can borrow me? I usually come prepared, but I don't have any on me. Yeah? Otherwise, I'll get some from you. Sorry, thank you. as I just mentioned, and I'd like to focus on this morning is Jesus' cry. It's found in verse 46. Read that again. It was about the ninth hour when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then after the sermon, we'll respond in song by singing hymn 40, stanzas 4 and 5, about how we lift our hearts to Christ on high. "For he who laid his glory by sent his spirit down, and he keeps us by his power secure." That idea of being secure in his love, and then we'll never be forsaken. We'll sing those words after the sermon. Brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you'll agree with me that the feeling that comes from being abandoned or forsaken by someone has got to be one of the worst things that we might ever have to or can imagine dealing with. And to give a better idea of what I mean, I looked up forsaken in my thesaurus, and it gave these possible synonyms. Obviously, abandoned, ditched, discarded, deserted, jilted, rejected, disowned, cast off. No one wants that or would wish that on someone. And for some of us, the feeling of being abandoned is a very real fear. For others, unfortunately, it is much more than a fear. Having to deal with the hurt, the pain of being abandoned might be a very raw reality. Whether it is by one or more parents, spouse, or the feeling can even come when someone we love is taken from us. And when we are forsaken, when we are deserted, rejected by people, it can be easy to jump to the conclusion that God too has forsaken us. And sometimes it can simply feel like God has forgotten about us. Brothers and sisters, have you ever felt like this? Have you ever felt all alone? Are you maybe right now wondering if God has abandoned, if he's forgotten all about you? And if you are, you are not alone. I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about this as we begin because it really is important. The trauma that can come from feeling abandoned is very real and more common than we might think. And then another thing we need to keep in mind is that as a Christian, it can be very hard to admit that we might have these kinds of feelings. All our lives we've been taught about the joy of belonging to Christ, of God's love for us. We know our Bibles. We can only imagine the reaction if we were to admit that we feel abandoned by God. You call yourself a Christian? See, fearing this and other types of this kind of response, it is no wonder that we're so often afraid to share with each other what we are feeling. And yet, we don't have to look very far or for very long in our Bibles to find examples where a child of God cries out to him, desperate to be noticed, to be seen. Psalm 13 is just one example. So we might be afraid to talk about our feelings. David sure isn't. He doesn't hold back. He feels abandoned even by God himself. And that's exactly what he says to God. How long, O Lord? Just how long are you going to forget about me? Forever? Remarkable, isn't it? This is the very same person who also wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Says David, "You are with me." Wow, that's a far cry from "How long will you go on forgetting me?" See, this just shows how we can know all the right truths, and yet we can still feel like the opposite is true. It's kind of like this internal struggle, a tension between what we know and what we feel. Add to that the fact that it happens, we go through different times in our lives. Sometimes it feels like God is right there with us, right? He's right near to us. Other times, like he's forgotten all about us. And of course, David isn't the only example we have of people struggling with feeling abandoned by God. Psalm 44, by the song, "Sons of Korah, wake up, O Lord, why do you sleep? Do not reject us forever. Why do you look the other way? Why do you ignore us?" And there are other psalms, many of them. Psalm 22 as well. Then we have Job. "Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy even?" Or the Lamentations of Jeremiah. "Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us for so long?" Brothers and sisters, I just wanted to acknowledge this from the start as we talk about being forsaken. Some of us might have experienced actually being abandoned and deserted by the very people we should have been able to depend upon. Others of us might go through very difficult times where it can feel like God has left us all alone. Whatever the case may be for you, it is my prayer that you may be comforted by this truth. People may fail and leave us, but God will never forsake or abandon you. Why? Why can we be so sure? Because our Savior did experience being forsaken, being abandoned by God, by His own Father in heaven. And that means that one thing we can know for sure, and take this to heart if you struggle with this, Jesus knows better than anyone what we're going through if we feel this way. Well, brothers and sisters, this is the gospel message we can hear today. It was the Father's will that the Son be forsaken for us, so that we might never more be forsaken by God. And that is how I've summarized God's word to us this morning. Because Jesus Christ was forsaken by God, we can know we never will be. Now, we picked up the story along the way after Jesus was already sentenced to death by crucifixion. I mentioned that because there was a lot of suffering that he had to go through on the way, on the process. But we're moving past that. We hear how Simon was asked to carry the cross, and they would have been walking along the Via Dolorosa, it's called, which is the path or the road out of the city that went to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Now, shortly after arriving there, they crucified him. We are not given any detail about that, just simply they crucified him. From the Gospel of Mark, we know it was the third hour, that is about 9 o'clock in the morning. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments, also prophesied as spoken about in Psalm 22. Those passing by, we read, they shook their heads, they hurled insults at him. Even the chief priests and the scribes, the leaders of the church, we could say, join in the mocking. He saved others, he cannot save himself. And then as we sang from Psalm 22, he trusts in God, let God deliver him now. And brothers and sisters, they spoke the truth. Sure, they meant it as an insult, but Jesus Christ really could not save himself and others at the same time. For in order to save others, he had to die on the cross. And all the suffering that he endured, as horrible as it was, in a sense was only the beginning. Jesus, too, must have known the worst was still to come, being completely and totally abandoned by his Father. And that's exactly what did happen. We are told that about 12 noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we have to talk about this darkness because there is a close connection between it and Jesus' cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Three times, as recorded by Matthew, Jesus himself uses the term outer darkness to refer to that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And actually, throughout the whole Bible, darkness is a symbol of being separated from God. God, who is light, and in whom there is no darkness at all, we read in 1 John. And okay, so that while that might explain, we could say the darkness, just like to ask you to just imagine being there for a second. Think of the people mingling around near the cross on that particular day. Because think, it was 12 noon, the middle of the day. What an experience that must have been. And while it's hard to imagine the confusion and fear of those standing near the cross, it is impossible for us to imagine the pain and the suffering of the one hanging on the cross. As he plunged into darkness, the darkness of separation from God for our sakes. One wonders how many of them, at least maybe among the Jews who were there, thought about what was prophesied by Amos. And on that day, declares the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. Other prophets too spoke of that day in very similar terms. And what they have in common is that they are referring to the judgment of God. See, and this then helps us to understand what Jesus Christ is dealing with. He's dealing with the wrath of God against the whole human race. I'd like to share with you the way one commentator I came across put it. I really tried. Couldn't find a better way to put it myself, so I just thought I'd use his words. The darkness meant judgment. The judgment of God upon our sins. His wrath, as it were, burning itself out in the very heart of Jesus. So that he, as our substitute, suffered most intense agony, indescribable woe, terrible isolation, or forsakenness. hell came to Calvary that day, and the Savior descended into it and bore its horrors in our stead. End quote. And then, after 3 hours of darkness, so it would have been about 3 p.m, Jesus cries out in a loud voice in Aramaic, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani." Eloi means "my God." And this was actually given to us in the Aramaic was so that we, it was the language of that day. Common people spoke. Oh, there were Greek-speaking people as well, but the common language was Aramaic. So this no doubt reflects Jesus' actual words as they were heard by the people there. It was like, it's like we were there. We could hear the words. And both Matthew and Mark provide a translation for their readers, explaining that it means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some people who were standing around, probably those who only knew Greek, they could have benefited from this explanation. They came to the conclusion that this man must be calling for Elijah. You see, according to tradition, since Elijah didn't die the normal way, but was taken by God in a whirlwind, it was thought he could also return in an equally miraculous way to help those in need. That's why they were so eager to see what's going to happen now. But they misunderstood Jesus' words. And actually, we have to be a bit careful too that we understand them properly. See, Jesus is not necessarily crying out in anger or disbelief, or only because he feels like God has forsaken him. No, we ought to take these words at their face value. Jesus, the Son of God, is feeling the indescribable pain of being separated from his Father. And so he quotes the only verse that describes what he's going through, and which he then, of course, is also now fulfilling. My brothers and my sisters, it is important that we understand this well. Our Savior had to suffer being separated from God because of sin. Because sin cuts the sinner off from God. We hear this from Isaiah. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So Jesus then is facing the punishment that also we deserved. Separation from God. Or put another way, God hiding his face from his own Son. Talk about rejection. And even by the very way that Jesus is being put to death, that is by crucifixion, he is being cut off from his Father. Paul explains this further in the letter to the Galatians. Jesus Christ redeemed us by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so he is forsaken. He is abandoned. In total darkness, completely shut away from the light of God. And this is also why we can be so sure that we will never be. Because now we know, by all of this, we know the price of also your and my sins was paid for in full. And yes, then Jesus cries out in a loud voice for all to hear, "My God, Why have you forsaken me? But why? And now I don't mean why did he have to be forsaken by God? Why did he cry out these particular words like he did? Why was it recorded even in the Aramaic? Well, that was for our benefit, brothers and sisters. For then we can be comforted and know that because of the cross of what Jesus faced, we will never be forsaken by our God. I heard, well, I asked, and that's why I heard, that you celebrated the Lord's Supper last week. We did as well in Yarrow a couple weeks ago. And no doubt then you'll remember that one of the ways that we remember Christ is those familiar words from the form. On the cross, he humbled himself to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. And then, yes, we called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? That we might be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by him. In other words, we remember that we have been made right with God, reconciled to him, something we'll hear about this afternoon. All because our Lord was forsaken and abandoned by God, we never have to worry about being left alone or abandoned by our Heavenly Father. Never. And to fully understand why we can be so thankful that God will never forsake us, we need to consider for a second the alternative. You see, Jesus himself explained that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. The idea behind Jesus as a ransom has everything to do with him paying the price with his own life. He stood in our place. He endured the judgment, the punishment of being rejected by God that we deserved. Need to understand that. What love. For when we see what Jesus suffered and had to endure, again, we deserved that. For in the end, it was not Judas, Pilate, or the chief priests that ultimately sent Jesus to the cross. It was you and me. It was also our sins. And so let's never forget about God's love for us. He showed us his love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners even. He loved us. He sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice, or if you like big words, the propitiation for our sins. And that sacrifice included being forsaken by God so that you and I might never have to be. I just have some concluding thoughts. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but can you even imagine it? All the suffering Jesus had to endure, and then from quoting from the Catechism, during all the time he lived on the earth, but yes, especially at the end, how Christ bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. I mean, how could we imagine that? We can't. Or how he couldn't even carry his own cross and then was crucified, brutally nailed to a cross. And after 3 hours of excruciating pain, a darkness falls over the whole land in the middle of the day. Not just for a minute or two. For 3 hours, it is dark. And as the darkness finally lifts, the cries of a tormented, of a broken man are heard from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you see, the thing is, we can talk and talk and think a lot about what this all meant, and there is a lot there. And that is good. Jesus had to die in this way. He had to be forsaken by God. We can see prophecies fulfilled and talk about atonement and substitution and satisfaction. The list goes on. But the message of the cross and of Jesus being forsaken so that we never will be, it needs to be more than just head knowledge. It needs to hit us in the heart. An old hymn says it well. Died he for me? In other words, make it personal. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was for you and I to hear. And so I ask you a crucial question this morning. Has this gospel message found you? Let's humble ourselves at the cross. And let us say, thank you, Jesus Christ, for dying for me. Thank you for enduring the hell of being totally abandoned by God. And thank you for making it clear to me that you did face being forsaken by the words that you cried out. Because then, while we might still have to deal with being forsaken or abandoned or deserted by the people in our lives, we can know without a doubt that we will never have to face the horror of being abandoned or forsaken by our Father in heaven. For as Jesus himself told us, he really is with us, even till the end of the age. And he sent his Spirit to live in our hearts. And so, brothers and sisters, this is God's promise to us. God's promise to us. Because Jesus was, we'll never be forsaken. Amen.